Hello and welcome to Sybil's Book Club, and I am Sybil Wilkes, and it is a great pleasure to have on with us today a friend of the show and a man who's been in the headlines, who has made headlines, and now has written his story. And the man is Kwame Kilpatrick, former mayor of Detroit, and his book is called Surrendered, The Rise, Fall, and Revelation of Kwame Kilpatrick. Welcome, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you for having me, Sybil. Good to be here.
That's great to have you. You were in the studio with us a while ago, and now you are here with us. You've done a lot on in the Tom Joyner family. I know you and your wife were on TJ TV with Dia Direct, and of course you were in the studio with Tom and Jay and me. And so now here we have you in Sybil's Book Club talking about your book, Surrendered. First of all, where did the title come from?
Well, the title came from actually Minister Louis Farrakhan, a conversation that he had with me back in 2008 when I was my wife and I were going through the incredible turmoil after the release of the text message, which exposed the affair that I had.
Mm-hmm.
I was fighting the legal system because they were doing some unprecedented things to maneuver a way to indict me on lying under oath. And I had a conversation with the minister, and he said to me, you know, brother, sometimes you just have to surrender.
Mm.
And in doing that, you may even have to go to prison. And, I'm thinking on the phone, minister, you got to be kidding.
Right. Give me some uplifting information.
Yeah, yeah. And he, that conversation, he said, surrender, brother, at the end of the conversation. I didn't do it right then, but when I got into prison and sitting in the hole, you know, mm-hmm. solitary confinement, that dark, cramped space, I eventually got to the point where I surrendered. And that's what, when I started writing, that's the word that came to me more than anything else. And that's why I titled the book that.
Wow. So you started writing the story in prison. How did, so was that like a cathartic thing for you in terms of just getting all these thoughts and all the things that were going on in your life and in your head on paper to kind of work through it for you?
Yeah, you know, Kari Turner, who is my co-author, told me to write some of these things down. And I never did, you know. He said, as you go through this, write it down, you know. But when you're moving around and driving and fighting and going through things, you don't have time to do it. But when I walked into solitary confinement, they gave me a short little pencil.
Mm.
And it was about a 2-inch pencil.
So like those golfer's pencils that you have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was like a golfer's pencil. And they gave me these little short, they called it kite paper in the prison system. And so most people, it's like a little notepad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I had. And, you know, I told you the room was so small that I could touch all four walls and sitting on the bed.
Wow.
And I had no reading material. They wouldn't bring me any reading material. I was being fed through a slot. So after a while, you just start writing, you know. And so you start the healing process. Well, at first you start trying, preventing yourself from going crazy.
Crazy,
and
right.
Then after that, it's about healing. And I started writing. And what came out of that was tears, laughter, sermons, all kinds of things, which we eventually put together in this book.
Well, you've done a phenomenal job in writing this book. You and your co-author, Kari Turner, I'm telling you, this is one of those books that you pick up, and for me, I couldn't put it down. I thought it was so well written, and it's like listening to you tell your story. I mean, there's no stiltedness in the prose or anything. You just tell it like it is, and you tell it like you're just having a conversation with old Kwame. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's exactly what I was doing. I was having a conversation with myself as I was writing. I'm so glad you said that. Thank you.
It really is, and I love your telling. Not only the things that we're very curious about, which was in your administration, but telling about your early years and going to college and meeting your wife and all of the things that, you know, you went through that so many people can identify with and laugh about. Some of the stories you tell about your roommates and your Boy Scout troop. And I mean, I'm telling you, Kwame, you're a great storyteller and as good of a storyteller as you are a politician. And that's the part that really endeared me to you is as you tell about your interactions with people and how you were just able to move with such ease and such grace from, you know, community to community, color to color. And a lot of that is due to your parents.
Yes. You know, one of the things that I wanted to to do is to expose myself in a way where people understood the connection. You mm-hmm. know, I think the story is one that whether you went to Michigan State or Hampton or Howard or USC, that you can identify with some of the college stories. You can identify with finding that one. You know, mm-hmm. I done found that girl, that dude, you
That's
know.
Right.
And you also can identify with some of the high highs and the low lows of life. And I think that by exposing myself, I reveal to others themselves. And I think they can find that in the book. But you're right. My parents, my mother and my father, who both have their distinct and and original personality,
yes.
Had a lot of influence in my life. And they've been magnificent. They've been great. But you see how profoundly strong my mother is in the
mm-hmm.
book. But also, even through divorce, my parents divorced when I was 10 years old. My father told me, and I wrote this in the book, on the day he picked me up from school to tell me that they were divorcing, that I would never, there would never be a time in my life where I'm not in yours.
Right.
And he kept that promise. And so I wanted people to see that as well. And so, yeah, I mean, white, black, revolutionary, nationalist, Nation of Islam, corporate America. They exposed me to so much my entire life where it became natural and easy for me to move through those different communities.
You really did, and tell it so beautifully. And what about in the process of writing? What was your process in terms of, I know you had 23 hours a day in solitary. How did that work for you in terms of writing your story?
Well, one of the lifers who was incarcerated with me told me that no matter how long you're in the box, or how long you're in the box is actual the hole,
mm-hmm.
the cell. You have to develop a schedule, and I did. I woke up, I did my prayers, I started doing this little yoga routine that a brother showed me. Then I would eat breakfast, and after breakfast, I would we had a television that we could watch in our cell,
mm-hmm.
and so they did finally give me a TV after a while, which I wrote about, and so I would have to watch the morning CNN and all the things, try to figure out what's going on. And after that, I would have reading time. My writing time was right after lunch. I would take about 3 hours and write after lunch. And then I would work out in the evening and then have dinner. And so that's how I did it. I took the yellow legal notepad, which I bought off the commissary,
mm-hmm.
you know, the prison commissary, and I would fill up one of those pads and mail it out to Kari. And Kari would put it in the right tense, or ask me a few more questions that I didn't quite get everything out of. Sometimes he would tell me, you know, this is too political. I want to fill it. And so I'd have to write it all over again. And so that was our process. And through that process, I think a great product was born.